What's up, everybody? We are back with another episode of Black and a Half.
Episode 18.
Yes.
We're legal now.
We are.
We can drink in Canada.
Yes, we can also smoke cigarettes now.
Right? We can go to strip clubs.
Yeah.
But we're in Seattle, so they can't be naked. So it's great. That's the way it is. We've got another great episode.
Another great author that you definitely are going to love.
Jasmine Silvera.
Yes.
Jasmine Silvera, it's her debut novel. Published novel. that's my Irish black.
There you go.
That's my black Irish accent.
Okay, I like it.
It's her debut novel, Death's Dancer.
Yes.
We talked to her about that. So we talked about a lot of nerdy stuff. Okay,
a lot of spoilers.
A list of spoilers.
Yep.
All right, we spoil the movie Passengers.
Yep.
Arrival.
Yep.
You may not know that we spoil it, but it's so subtle. Yeah, but we do kind of. The New Edition documentary. We're talking about the New Edition documentary. I don't think it's really a spoil because I didn't see it. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
If you're a New Edition fan, you've already seen their lives.
You read it in the. You watched BET.
You
were reading.
You've seen Bobby Brown be arrested.
You read Tiger Beat magazine.
Right.
So you know all about
Teen
that.
Teen Beat, whatever.
It's but it's. I think. Yeah, we talk about that. We talk about. You know, we get to 55 minutes, and then Manny starts talking about spiritual stuff.
Yeah,
every
man.
Episode.
Every episode.
He waits till the very end. And he's like, let's talk about the philosophies of life.
Now let's
like
talk everything. About the Lord today.
like, start that earlier, man. Start off with trivia. It's a fun episode. Today's episode, our sponsor is The Feeling Sadness. It's what America's feeling since
exactly.
January 20th.
Yes.
All right. and by the color orange. Also.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Orange History Month.
It is now. You know, Frederick Douglass, he's doing great though, right?
He's doing great, huge things.
He's doing big things.
Big things.
People are going to start talking about him now. Suddenly, they're going to talk about Frederick Douglass.
Frederick Douglass.
Like,
what did he do?
He's like, he's one of my biggest fans too. He loves me. He's a big fan. He's a big fan of Trump. Gave me a lot of money.
Why isn't there a Trump month? Why isn't there? It would be huge.
It's the bigliest month. I would never have. It's like, that's what they do. He's like, don't give me February. It's too short. We'll give that to the blacks.
Give
who
that
love
to
me.
The coloreds. Yeah, they love me.
He's going to get 95% of the black vote, he says,
in
when
the
he
next
runs
election?
For re-election.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
He's going to go from 8%
wow.
to 95%. It's going to be amazing.
He's going to be like, I lost because of all the illegal black votes.
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. this was a fun episode. We're glad to be here. Glad you're listening. Please... we always tell you to subscribe on iTunes and all that stuff. But one thing you can also do is just share it. Share it.
That'd be huge.
On Facebook, we put it out there. Share it to your friends. Say, hey, this is a fun group of guys.
Yeah.
A group. I don't know. Yeah. Are we a group?
I guess we're a duo.
I don't know.
Yeah.
A dynamic duo?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm your
sidekick. Wait, who was that?
Batman Robin?
Was that the dynamic duo?
Yeah.
It's not the Wonder Twins, right?
No, okay.
But we activate.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, share it with your friends. Let them know to listen to it. Like our page, and I guess.
There
stuff.
You go.
I don't know.
Cool.
Or don't.
Yeah, I think you should. Enjoy.
Yeah. All right. So, here we are. Episode 18 with Jasmine Silvera.
Yeah.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Back with another episode of Black and a Half.
All right. Oh, we have an awesome guest today.
Yes.
Future Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Jasmine Silvera.
That's right. Author, talent. Author.
Blurred, right?
Blurred.
Blurred.
Yes.
Blurred.
I was glad that when we got connected by our mutual friend,
Yes.
You said the word blurred. You said, I'm a blurred bleak.
Yeah.
I was like, I haven't heard bleak.
I like double.
Yeah.
There you go.
What's the difference between a blurred and a bleak? Is it,
I mean, what's the difference between a nerd and a geek?
I think that's right. Like one of Socrates' biggest questions, right?
Yeah.
These are the things we ponder.
Is there a difference, do you think?
I felt like geek was more like those guys that you would see on like Saved by the Bell who were like getting bullied by, you know, Zach Morris and A.C. Slater. Then a nerd was, yeah, I guess they're the same thing. Never mind.
I don't know.
I feel like geek maybe is like pocket protector, like glasses with the tape on it. I feel like nerd now has kind of been made into a cooler thing.
Yeah, nerd's cool. Yeah, and like, yeah. Geek is still like someone who's got exactly. a little bit of technical. Like, technical expertise.
Right.
You know.
Fucking geek.
Yeah. Right. I feel like, you know, Pharrell and the Neptunes made nerd, N-E-R-D, right. You know, kind of a cool thing. And then geek is still kind of, I don't know. I guess not really. This is a very special episode, guys. It's our first episode of Black History Month, and it's an all-black cast.
That's right.
Yeah, this is huge. This is amazing.
It's in our first. Let's see, we had Jack on.
We had Jack on. That's true.
Have we ever anyone else who's black on here? I mean, I'm colorblind, so I can't. Yeah. And I don't really notice.
I don't see color.
I can't see color, so it's hard to tell.
Everybody's the same.
But it's good. What is your geekdom? Like, what are you into?
My geekdom is basically just a deep dive on anything that I get curious about. And I just have to research the hell out of it. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Like, what's our FCC rating here?
NC-17?
So I think that for me, that's what a geek is someone, like, I can't watch a television show without the device in my hand. And I'm like Wikipedia and stuff and doing...
Are you the two-screen experience?
Yeah, I cannot just watch something.
Do you do that?
I do it. I can't help but do it. I'll see something on Flash and I'm like, ooh, I got to Wikipedia that
right.
and see
is that
exactly
possible?
Why.
Like,
yeah.
Is that a real science right. thing or a made-up science thing? Like, where does the science end and the fantasy start? Like, oh, history, if it's any mm-hmm. sort of historical show. I got hooked on the Vikings recently.
Oh, okay.
I've heard channel. About that.
So it's kind of, I mean, sorry. All right. Supposed to be historically accurate, relatively.
Okay.
And so I wind up being online while I'm watching it and then, you know, having one corner of the show and the other is mm-hmm. me like, what is a blood eagle? Was that a real punishment or was that something they just traumatized because it's disgusting and gory?
Do you watch Walking Dead?
I cannot watch The Walking Dead.
You cannot watch it? It's creeped out?
I get so
Have you ever seen
out.
Any episodes of it?
I have. I love the graphic novels. Mm-hmm. So I, for some reason, if it's a graphic novel, I can read it. That's fine. But mm-hmm. the actual
well,
watching
the blood
it,
isn't going everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so I don't watch it anymore.
I've never seen an episode.
I cannot.
No? The Walking Dead, never. I don't know why.
Is it because of you?
Maybe
Crystal?
Just no.
Would she be grossed out?
She's not really into all the zombies and dead stuff. She doesn't like demonic, and she doesn't like zombies that much. I mean, we watched World War Z. That was all right.
But I don't like horror movies that much, but I love Walking Dead. Like, I don't know what it is. It's like, that's the one that I...
Yeah. I mean, I could do zombies. I can't do the dark, dark stuff. For some reason, it, like, is so dark. Like, The Ring and all that. Demonic possession. That's one of the things.
The reason I was asking Walking Dead is because they have the thing said, start your app now for the two-screen experience. And I don't know what that is exactly, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I have to be doing it live when it's on or if I can just sync it up.
Or?
I don't know what it is. I don't know how to. I got to check it out sometime.
Okay.
But I don't.
For people listening at home, please inform us.
Do the two screen? What do they call it? Two screen? Double screen?
Two screen experience. I don't because okay. I'll have people comment on Twitter as they're like, I'm watching this show. What was it Black Mirror? And you guys are idiots. This isn't interesting. Oh, and then they're commenting on stuff that's happening while they're watching it, and I'm like, well. Can you even try to enjoy it? I mean, if you're typing something,
right?
Like you're not giving yourself into that thing, and so that's what I wonder about the two screen thing. Like, do you ever feel like, oh, I'm not totally into this show because I'm having to look things
maybe
up?
Maybe the two screen thing is about people tweeting, live tweeting.
That I can't get into because then I can't think that fast. I can't. That's already like little characters.
You said for Flash, you look stuff up.
Well, for Flash, just because I'm like. over the last like year. Well, no, ever since I was a kid, I've always been obsessed with time travel. Ever since Back to the Future.
So do you, I mean, but they mentioned a character or something. Do you look them up?
Well, like I'll try to. I mean, I'm so ADD all the time that I've got like my phone in my hand and I'm watching something else.
So. Okay, so you can't. You never just sit there and just watch a show.
Not unless it's a movie.
Movie theater
is probably the number one. Or unless, like, the wife is making me spooner, and then I have to watch the movie, and I can't be on my phone.
So you're like, oh my god, damn, bitter, angry. It's an angry spoon.
So yeah, I don't know.
I gotta get Flash started back up, right?
Yeah. I get caught up. There's only I think 2 episodes in, so it's pretty good.
Okay.
I don't like Kid Flash's new outfit though. You've seen it.
Well, don't fucking tell me the You've last already two seen episodes.
It. Well, there's a, no. I mean, okay, so. But you saw it at the beginning, that yellow outfit that doesn't look like it quite fits him.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I'm telling you. Yeah, I just don't like it.
Well, I don't know if they got a different one. It's going to be
starting World War III over
spoilers.
Here.
I don't like spoilers.
Yeah, well, so we don't actually have a TV.
Oh,
so
what?
I watch everything streaming, and generally I'm about half a season behind.
Wait, that's a good one. Do you have a TV?
We don't have a physical television.
You don't have a physical television?
So just like iPads? Or?
We iPads and laptops. And
so you don't sit around and watch something together?
We don't.
Just separately?
We
have your husband?
We have such different tastes in movies. Like, I dragged the last comic book movie I dragged him to was, I think, Doctor Strange, and he was like, I'm done. He's like, I can't.
He didn't like it? It was so good.
I thought it was funny.
Right? That's grounds for divorce.
But, hey, he's my first reader. He reads everything.
Right. You're ride
or
die.
I get at him, and he will.
Do you have the same iPad? Do you, like, watch this? Do you have the same model that you watch?
No, but, well, we have the same
Prime separate
account,
but equal?
So we can watch, kind of.
Separate but equal. You gotta
no,
have
you always gotta have the separate one, because you gotta clear history just in case.
That's true.
Yes. So,
I mean, and he will watch things if I, you know, encourage. He loved Deadpool. Like, who didn't love Deadpool?
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah,
I mean, it was funny. I think that was,
you know. So he's not nerdy at all?
He's more geeky, I would say. He is definitely more of, like, he's a technical guy. He's very, very smart, very tech-oriented and detail-oriented.
Okay.
But he's not
What show does he watch,
nerd.
Like CSI?
No, you know, he got into the Grand Tour.
Okay.
And,
what?
You know,
what's
that? It's the American version of, oh, the name is escaping me. The BBC show with the cars. Oh, shoot.
Oh, I know what show you're talking about.
Yeah, and they just started an Amazon, a series, an American series on Amazon Prime. And it's the Grand Tour is the American version. And the British version is Jeremy Clarkson is the host. He's like this giant kind of bombastic British guy
where he drives around. Yeah, I know what show you're talking about.
And they compare supercars. Top Gear.
Oh,
that's exactly what it's called.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that, he likes, you know, Black Mirror. He does like Black Mirror.
Can somebody give me a breakdown of what Black Mirror is?
Oh, it's it's like the Outer Limits. It's a new Outer Limits, but it's British, and it's usually speaking about technology.
Is this the stuff on?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's like a bunch of different episodes. And
well, there's like 6 episodes a season. So there's only like 3 seasons so far.
Was there one about somebody in a cabin and trying to get somebody to confess to a crime or something like that? Or is that?
There was a cabin one.
Okay, maybe that's. Okay, I think we saw 2. I was asleep when it came on.
No, these are great. These are some great episodes.
So what? Okay, what's everybody's like top 3 Netflix shows that you're looking forward to this year?
Looking forward to?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I haven't seen the last episode of OA. I need to see that.
I want
to
see that.
I feel like there is something coming out.
Stranger Things. Yeah.
That's good. I want to see. I thought you're asking what's coming up, and that's all I'm like.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
don't even announce it till like suddenly they're like, hey.
It drops. We got a whole season for you. Ba-bam.
I want to see the Drew Barrymore comedy that's coming out. She's
she doing stand-up?
No. She's a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
She's a realtor, but she's like becomes a zombie.
Oh,
and her family's
okay.
trying to cope with the fact that she wants to eat people. And it's a comedy. And it's like, so a zombie comedy.
So this is Netflix.
Zomcom. Is that a Zomcom?
Zomcom.
Okay. It's so funny how like Netflix and Amazon are just destroying TV.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's probably, I don't know. I mean, cable will have to come down at some point, I guess. If
what, in price?
Yeah, if Netflix and Amazon keep doing their thing.
Maybe I mean it's, yeah. I mean, maybe the internet will go up in price.
That's
because
true.
You're gonna have to.
Yeah.
But I like. I mean, you still got. Bottom line is you have live TV, and that's gonna keep people. Because I tried using Sling for a little bit.
Yeah, how was that?
But you can't get. Well, in Seattle, you can't get the local station. So the live stuff doesn't really work.
That's right. Because my buddy was trying to watch the Seahawks game, he couldn't do it. So yeah. You have to always, yeah.
Like for that, or you have to go to a bar. I guess you have to have the compromise of it's how much it's worth to you a month. I will get cable, right, just so that I can get The Walking Dead when it comes on.
That makes sense.
Like, I'm not going to wait a season.
You can't, no?
I'll wait a season.
Oh, but see, the binge is where it's at. It's like getting to say, even when it's on, I want to save it up and watch like 8 in a row.
There's something like fun about that. Like just watching all 8 or 12 episodes.
But I know I used to love waiting. The anticipation till the next week, like, oh, what's going to happen to Buffy this week? Oh my God, did you see that clip? Maybe Spike's coming back.
Yeah, that's
all exciting.
Like,
okay, they don't have on none of the Netflix shows have next time.
Yeah,
that's true.
And you see the clip, and like, oh, Spike. Yeah. They get all excited. That, like, I missed that. And
that was the best part of
previously
like...
on Buffy. Buffy was my show.
For me, that was Smallville with
Smallville.
Yeah.
Okay, Smallville. I remember when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to it. I was like, I'm so excited. And I was watching it, and it was like 5 episodes before I was like, oh, this sucks. I didn't know.
Right.
No, please don't suck. And I just kept watching it. And then the second season, I was like, I'm watching. And by the end, I was just like, I can't. It's every week. It's the same
just
damn
done.
Meteor Rock story. But I was like, done. And I didn't watch the rest of it.
Right.
Till years later, like 5 years later, my daughter's born, and she's colic.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, I started, I was like, a Smallville episode was on, like late at night, like 3 a.m. And I turned it on. And it's like one of the seasons I just... Like right after I stopped watching, I'm like, oh, let me see this, and I was like, "Holy shit, that was good!" And so then the next night, I like watch. I'm like, I'm gonna TiVo this, and then I'm like, start watching every night. I was like, I literally stopped watching, and it got fucking awesome.
And this is why you binge because then you just like ride it out,
but
you know, then you
okay.
Just
but I
keep going.
If it was crap the first season, I wouldn't have moved on.
Right.
If it hadn't been for late night TV randomly coming on, I wouldn't have discovered it.
Yeah.
And now I feel like, I guess the good thing is now TV, like you have to be purposeful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like purposeful watching.
Yeah.
Like I am going to watch the.
I don't feel like I enjoy sitcoms though as much anymore.
Too much good, really good stuff.
Yeah.
There's no Cheers.
No Cheers, no Friends or anything like that.
Well, and that's the great thing about Netflix and Amazon, though, is that you've got like programming that you wouldn't see on the networks.
Right.
Like, would a network ever have done Stranger Things, taken a chance on, or like Mozart in the Jungle, which I think is an awesome show, and it's such a weird, like, where is it? It's not really funny, but...
So tell us about Mozart in the Jungle. I've never heard of this. Okay, this sounds
so
amazing.
I've seen the clips, but the name was so weird, I didn't know, like,
is this
a kid's show?
No,
is it
it's not a kid's show.
I was like, is this like...
It's one that if I'm watching when I'm cooking and my daughter's running around, I have to like, why don't you maybe go
play? It's like
play.
Baby Einstein.
Yeah. It's about a New York symphony, a fictional New York symphony.
Okay.
And that is dying, as a lot of our current symphonies are. They're having a hard time getting their funding, and there's not a lot of patronage. And they hire this young, kind of vibrant, sort of, you know, throw the chairs over.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Gabriel Garcia Bernal is the actor, I believe.
Okay.
You know, so he's got this very, like, Latin, passionate thing going. And it just is the whole life of the orchestra. So I'm an amateur cellist, I played in a small community orchestra at one point. So I think anybody who has any background in music will
find that.
So they look inside things for them.
Right.
But it's also just a lot of drama and artists and
all
of this. Monica Bellucci was a guest on the last season, and she's just fantastic
to look at this out in general. Like, I love symphonies. I've never, like, my parents they never let me play an instrument growing up. I always wanted to.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Something about the symphony, I love just like sitting there and hearing some of your favorite pieces. But I also like when they do like Nintendo games and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So that's what. Oh, speaking of miniseries, did you guys, anybody watch the New Edition?
It's on my list.
What?
I know.
It was on the read. And
New
I
Edition
to watch
on BET had a, I had a miniseries on their careers and the start, like from when they were young to.
Really?
All the Bobby Brown stuff. Were you a New Edition
fan? Bobby dead yet?
No. I mean, he looks like he's strung out.
He should
though.
Be.
Yeah, man. He, like, you know when you see a fiend after years and they're talking out the side of their mouth and like, they're crooked? Like, yeah, that's what Bobby looks like now. But, were you in a New Edition?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
they were from Boston, right?
I kind of, but I feel like I got into them when they broke up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like the age I was when they broke up. Okay. And I was like, oh, these are cool. Bobby. Oh, yeah, he was on New Edition. I remember New Edition. And then it was a big deal, like when they would get together or something for something. Right. Like, yes. I didn't know any of the songs, but that's awesome.
Yeah, so me and my wife got in a fight. It was the dumbest fight. It was about who was better, New Edition or New Kids on the Block. And I was like, "Don't
How
you dare
that
say
a fight?
That's not
like,
even."
But she didn't agree that
that is fucking privilege right there. Right. White privilege right there. Thinking New Kids on the Block
she
can hold.
The funniest thing was she didn't think that New Kids on the Block was better than New Edition. She just said that it was a different phenomenon. You know what I mean? Is why like little girls love them more than New Edition. But I was arguing the point that New Edition was way more talented than
question.
Yeah, yeah. And she was like, yeah, they were way more talented than New Kids on the Block.
You have to give them a point. I mean, like, New Kids on the Block was kind of like the little, that was how you brought that
exactly.
to
little girls, to
and
like
the boy
white
band.
America.
And,
yeah, but like,
you know, just like
you know what? Barney
stealing her stuff.
Barney was a phenomenon, too.
That's
like,
true. That's
New Kids on the Block was like the Barney of music.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It was interesting because I just wanted to see. I wanted to go back and see because I went to Catholic school, right? So all the girls were always in New Kids on the Block. And I was like, who is this fucking New Kids on the Block? So I told Amazon Echo, I was like, hey, play New Kids on the Block. And they played Please Don't Go Girl. And it was, what's his name, Joey McIntyre singing. Uh-huh. Like, this is the corniest shit I've ever heard in my life. And I mean,
girls loved it.
They did.
12-year-old girls just loved
it. You know, it's
that.
So crazy, though. You think about it, and you wonder how like young they were just like hooking up with people on the road. You know what I mean? Like, because you don't really have any chaperones.
I don't really
want
to think about that.
I know,
that's
it's gross.
Like,
you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, man, those guys. I don't know if I'd ever let my child be a star. So
of course you would. It'd be the money.
Yeah,
because
yeah, like,
you're
you know
the
what?
Manager,
yeah,
and there's
true.
A cut for you.
Yeah,
no. So I think that's how a lot of people let that happen.
Hal Sparks was telling me that some of those parents, literally, that's all they do, and their kids bring home like $300,000-$500,000 a year. And support a whole family. So
yeah.
Oh, but I heard that thing about New Edition. They wound up like one tour. They all wound up making like $180 or some ridiculous
what?
Like
is
that.
Because the parents took it.
No,
or
the management was so bad. Sketchy.
And then even their next manager. Well, just watch it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. It's really good. It's only 3 episodes, but 2 hours apiece, and you can just fast forward.
But the manager's white. Taking advantage of these black children.
So, okay, well, here's the thing. Their first manager was black, but he wasn't doing the money. He was just choreographing, and they voted him out. Like, the moms voted him out because they didn't make any money. And he was like, before they voted him out, he was like, I just want to let you guys know, I take care of these kids. Like, I take them on the road and make sure they come back to school every day. I'm the one. Did you not hit?
No, just watch some level.
He was like, you know, I'm the one breaking up fights. He was like, I raise these boys like they're my own, and I understand if you vote me out, but whatever. So then they voted him. They got this white guy to manage him, got him all these gigs, but then that guy, like, wrote shitty contracts for him. So, I mean, but the first contract they signed was, like, for $500 each and a Betamax. And they were all excited. They were like, $500 and a Betamax.
We got a Betamax.
Oh, man. So that's
you
the industry.
Away. You got to watch the people. The snakes, too.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. When you're an artist, you're so hungry to get in the door that you'll I have another opportunity to do
you'll
this?
You'll redo people's floors just to get an opportunity.
Hey, if he's listening, motherfucker.
It won't listen. I'm on the show.
I know, right?
All right. What was the Jasmine? You like? Have you been as writing been your art? Like, has that been your only art?
Yeah, that's been my most consistent art. That's been the
Did
thing
you ever
I've
act?
Done. I actually took like 2 acting classes in college.
Nice.
Me and everybody
okay.
else.
Right.
I took a boxing class too, which was way cooler.
Right. There you go.
But I don't like getting hit in the face.
Yeah, that's not
it's
fun.
Not fun.
I prefer leather. Punching.
You know, I
punch a Nazi.
It's yeah. Punch first. And apparently I needed to get hit once to get angry, so
right.
that was it. You know, I learned like I can't be a boxer because I can't take the first hit that's
Wait,
gonna
you got hit and you got angry?
Oh yeah, well then, you fight, and then you start fighting back. But like the first, it takes that one to like, oh, I'm not gonna hit you,
What
and
then
made, like, oh, I'm
what made you decide to do boxing?
Conditioning, like it's really good physical conditioning,
right.
And it's amazing. And I just had a lot of aggression. I think.
Where did you go to school?
Actually was at a community college in Sacramento, my stomping ground.
Okay.
And I remember I needed electives, so I took the acting class, and I was like, okay, this is okay, but I'm not an actor. I have no poker face. I have no ability. Everything is right here on the face. Right. If I'm upset, you know it. If I'm happy, you know it. If I'm...
Well, that's an Which actor's is supposed to let you know how they're feeling.
Oh, yeah, but I think I don't dissolve into a role. And I'm not a method actor, that's for sure.
Right.
So it's everything else is kind of stacked on top. So anyway, then I got into boxing as because you needed a PE.
You're
you know,
right.
I was
yeah,
just
yeah.
doing the general
that
ed thing,
college,
like check,
yeah.
check. Can I transfer now? Yeah.
So that was in Sacramento?
Yeah.
You grew up in Sacramento?
I did.
I went to college in Chico.
No kidding. North. Party yeah. school.
Right? Fucking, that's what everybody says every yeah. time I bring it up.
Was that the person you talked to?
We met somebody last night who was from Chico. It was like the first person I've met like from there that I've been
talking
to.
They knew people.
To.
Like,
oh, yeah. We had same mutual friends. Here's a question. Ethical yeah. thing. Here's an ethical question. Not an ethical. Morality question.
Yeah.
I don't know. When somebody you know dies...
Right,
They're on Facebook. Like, if you like, and if you like, kind of know, do you delete? Do you unfriend them? Like, ever?
This guy. No, you just leave
this
them
guy,
on there.
Like, do you?
You leave them on there until they delete.
Let's think about that.
Huh?
You never know.
They don't delete them anymore. They're just they go.
Well, the family.
I thought there was
supposed
to be a memorialized thing now or something.
Maybe. I thought you could like somebody could you can will somebody, your profile
yeah, yeah.
to somebody to take
you
over
can,
when
but
you
I think
pass on. Not,
but if you don't do that, then
you
shot yourself.
You're right.
I mean, that's what happened. This guy in Chico that we a musician oh. actor friend that I knew. They knew him like I was like, oh yeah, I forgot, yeah. Huh.
Man, that's
and always... I went to his page and saw like people say, hey, people put pages things on yeah. his page occasionally thought of you
it's
about
therapeutic
this.
For some people, so I
yeah.
think, you know.
But I was like but I feel awful, like, do I unfriend? I'm like, I gotta clean up this. I have an aunt who died suddenly.
Right.
And she was on there, but she never put her profile on
oh,
there.
Right.
So but I always see her
name
occasionally.
Like, in your
like,
friend list?
Well, because when
yeah,
I'm going
yeah.
to tag things, and, like, if I type someone to start with the name, I'm like, oh, yeah, she died.
You're right, just kind of kills the mood.
Like, okay, well, I guess I won't tag her.
What you need to worry about is when they start posting things. Then you go,
I know, right? Like, what?
Well,
there's
don't
a horror movie
you don't
plot, right?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, so-and-so was dead.
But some people,
and
I'm like, well, I wasn't really that
Facebook.
Friends with them anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I just don't know if I'm like, I don't want to, like, unfriend. Like, it feels
yeah.
bad now.
Yeah,
like,
well, they're not going to know.
I mean, at least they won't unfriend me, right? At least keeps my numbers up.
That's true.
Okay, I guess I just need to make notes for them when I hit 5,000. I know where to go.
You know where to start.
Let me just go get rid of the dead people.
I'm famous now.
Yeah, so...
You're dead.
Yeah.
I'm famous. You don't need
it. Okay, other ethical question, though,
yes.
that I brought up earlier. Punching a Nazi. Is punching a Nazi, you know, because that's all around. Everyone's discussing, like,
right.
arguing about whether it's okay to punch that guy who's leader
yeah,
of the
yeah,
alt-right.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I got punched in the face. By the way, that wasn't...
By the alt-right, you mean the neo-Nazi?
Yeah,
yeah
Nazi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah,
a Nazi,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Alt-right.
I mean,
but, like, okay,
and
the punch was
yeah.
kind of weak. Let's be admit that.
It was.
Everyone
it
says,
wasn't
it was
a clean
more
shot.
Like a forearm Tito Santana,
yeah.
forearm smash. But they call it a punch.
Yeah.
But people say, oh, you can't punch a Nazi because that's what they would do. Is it? Do you think it's okay to punch the Nazi?
You know, it's like if you're living by Michelle Obama's rules, when they go low, you go high. But if you're living by the street mentality, man, to sock the shit out of me.
Hey,
I don't know.
Captain America punching Nazis.
That's true.
I'm with Cap.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They were at
on
war.
One.
They were at war at that
time. Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Okay. Well, you know, I think...
Does the war ever end with a Nazi?
I don't know. Well, do you guys know about the... who's that guy? There's a black guy who was going around, like, converting Klan people and, like, showing them... Did you see that?
Oh, was he converting him? I thought he was joined him.
No,
there was this guy that joined the KKK, the black guy, first black KKK member.
No, he wasn't. He was telling... He was making a lot of those people leave by showing them that, hey, we're not all what you think we are. And he's only been in a fight with, like, two people. I'm not that brave to go into Nazi or, you know, KKK
yeah.
territory. But this guy literally converted a few people out. Probably, like, a couple hundred. So, I mean, do you win with love or do you win with, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I sort of think, you know, Adolf Hitler talked about, and we don't know, if, you know, he says... The only thing that would have stopped them is if somebody early on had confronted them
Ooh.
And threatened them. He said that. He said that was the only thing that would have stopped us, and nobody did.
Really?
Yeah. And so it makes me go like, well, yeah, I mean, maybe. And I think maybe if someone had punched him in the fucking face a few times,
that's
it would
true.
Be like, maybe we shouldn't say that.
I feel like somebody
maybe we should just back off.
You know, that's
bit.
Kind of the thing with Trump is like a lot of these Republicans are just standing behind him for everything. They just don't care. I mean. There's a few good ones that are. I'm not trying to like.
Yeah.
You know, there you can't put everybody.
The ones
into
who a, listen to our show are good.
Yeah, there you go.
They're good.
It's such a tough thing, man. It's like I don't know. Like, I don't know if punching people is going to solve the problem. It's just going to make them more angry. You know, it's like, I want to punch them, but I mean...
Yeah. I think the point about confronting them is a good one, though.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
You, maybe if the punch is not, it's a metaphor for
there you go.
How you deal with someone is.
Oh
to
no, he
get.
Meant. Well, I'm not phrasing right. No, he meant if somebody had like kicked their ass,
beat the shit out of him. Oh, okay, that's
that
would have
stopped.
Yeah, probably.
Because he's
okay. You have my approval.
Okay,
thumbs up. So you passed this congressional hearing. So
yeah. Pass that. Do so. You, isn't that great? Do you know who Linda McMahon is?
So
no,
Vince McMahon is the
yes,
owner.
Yes.
Okay, uh-huh. So okay. His ex-wife? Are they still together?
No, they're still together.
Okay.
Yeah, the Linda McMahon, the one of the owners of WWE.
Okay.
She was picked by Donald Trump as the nominee for the small business
secretary.
Oh, that
one. That's her then. Yeah. Okay.
But they don't pick.
This is such a like parade of
right.
unqualified
right.
bizarre
well,
people
she's
that I can't keep them all
well,
in
people,
order in my head.
People are like, well, she's qualified, but I'm like, but they got the millionaire Ted DiBiase
right
out there, right? Pick him.
Yeah.
He knows business.
Wouldn't it, you know, it's so funny because I always wonder like where Ted DiBiase would fall because I think he became uber Christian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's super.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. A lot of the wrestlers become very religious.
So crazy.
After.
Why is that? Is that just getting hit in the head enough?
I think you're
sitting.
Break
yeah,
a chair
so.
Over your back 12 times and you start
think,
seeing Jesus?
I know, right? You're like, this is what the Lord
I know you're in a lot
like.
Of pain. You're in a lot of pain. All wrestlers are like in pain a lot.
There's a lot of like fall. I mean, so I worked with this guy. His name is Mick Foley, and he used to play this character named Mankind. And do you remember when he fell off the top of that 20-foot cage through a table? It was the craziest thing. And then he got back in the ring after they thought he was dead, started fighting again, fell on some thumbtacks. They threw him back through the thing, and his tooth went through his lip and through his nose. So it's just like some of these guys, what they do for the value of entertainment is like, why? There was a guy named Daniel Bryant recently who just quit because of too many concussions.
Yeah.
So,
but I wonder – I think maybe like they're in pain and you look for a reason.
Yeah.
And like, oh, something good came of all this.
Well, you know, I also think it's a lot. It's a dark lifestyle. I think there's a lot of these guys like so they used to carry like fanny packs back in the 90s. Right. But a lot of them I heard had drugs and everything else that
oh,
they
God,
would do.
I can imagine because you're coping with
immense
pain. Immense, you know?
Pain
yeah.
and just like these demons and just hooking up with girls on the road because
yeah,
you're these,
them.
You know.
And
superstars.
Then you need to figure out like, oh, I need to get my life straight. And
right.
It's a good path. You know, it gives you steps to go.
And I also think that there's something to be said for like when you're not at the top of your game, when you're like rock bottom, you know what I mean? Nobody is, you know, paying attention to you anymore. Nobody's giving you the time of day. Maybe that's when you're like, I need something in my life. And maybe that's when
Scott Hall dead. Did he die?
No, he's still alive.
He's still alive. Wow.
But he lives. He has some demons.
Isn't that crazy? Like 2016, like everybody was feeling like was dying. But nobody you thought would die. Like, everybody, you're like, is that guy dead yet? No? Really?
But it got to be that you'd see somebody's, some celebrity's name in your news feed and be like, oh, man, did they die too?
I know,
what
right?
You'd be freaking
out.
You see their name trending, you're like,
exactly.
No!
Yeah. You're like, Harrison Ford, please no. Oh, he was just in a plane crash.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. So.
Well, no, like Betty White. And you're like, oh, right? She's really, oh, no, don't die.
Oh,
well, that's
going to
be tragic. Yeah. I think, well, you know what? I think it might be Betty White by being taking the life force out of everybody else.
Probably.
Like,
what if she has
right,
like
I'm
some voodoo stuff
going
on?
Necromancer. She's like sucking the life out of you. And no.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
And then, okay, so you boxed. You got hit in the head. Got angry and you're like, okay, I'm just gonna.
But
I'm
not for
go,
me, not for me.
Go right. Yeah. How long until you got? Did you start writing in college?
Oh, so I started writing. That I was. I think I probably had high school teachers who thought I was taking amazing notes because I was always writing.
Right.
And I probably failed geometry because I was writing when I should have been paying attention. And I knew that I was going to do something writing related, so I went to try to do an English degree, and I just. Couldn't hang with reading a bunch of dead white guys, and I tried to do, I don't know what I was going to do, but I wound up going to school for journalism because I thought, well, I can write, you know, I'm interested in current events, and this is a career, so let's call it and go that way, and so I tried very hard to be a journalist for a while.
Was that what you mentioned broadcasting that you would?
Yeah. Yeah, so
experience in front of a mic.
I got my degree in broadcast journalism from
okay.
The other party school in California, Humboldt State University.
Oh, Humboldt. Okay, you can't even make fun of me.
I cannot.
Chico. Humboldt. That was the weed place. Like,
I,
it
give
was,
you,
okay.
I give you
people
the
didn't even know there was
of,
a school there. It was just weed.
Just a big cloud.
That's how you knew it was there. It was like, oh, yeah, that's where all the,
all
that's where all the smoke from all the pot.
Hilarious.
Yes.
What? So you, but you didn't want to pursue that? Did you try pursuing it?
I did. Actually, I had an on-camera gig with the local Fox affiliate. I did a community calendar and called What's Going On.
Okay.
And then I did What's Going On?
They all have those local...
Yeah, and for that's Northern California.
That is such a local TV spot name, right?
It was great.
What's going on at the corner of Main and 5th? Oh, hey, the new Shell gas station's up. Man. They got those new Hostess cupcakes
it's
coming
so
on.
Crazy what they make newscasters do. Like, it was great. We had a guy one time come in, I think he was on King 5, and he was like, I'm going to try comedy today. And they put him on the show, and he just ate shit for like 5 straight minutes. But then the way they chopped it on TV, they made it look like he actually did get it at the end. No, he like tanked. It's like amazing.
Did they just have other people's laughter?
It was probably from like either my
people
set
are laughing,
or like,
you're like, oh, why are they laughing? That doesn't even seem funny. And so Humboldt State, this is Northern California.
Right.
So you were the diversity of of Humboldt, right?
That was pretty much it. No, you know, actually, you find little enclaves of people everywhere. Mm-hmm. And because we go everywhere,
right.
You know it.
All the black hippies. That's where black hippies were, right?
You know, some real dreadlocks. Like, yeah. For real.
His mom.
Yeah, you know, and there's some really great classes there that I didn't find anywhere else. I took a feminist science fiction class, which was right up my alley because I was reading all of the science fiction and fantasy, and it was really neat. I got introduced to Ursula Le Guin and Octavia Butler, and like, oh man, this is what science fiction and this is what speculative fiction can do is, you know, tell these narratives about feminism and talk about social issues that are going on and get into race and ethnicity and all of, and you do it through the lens of an alien species or an interstellar journey, and you have all of these experiences that then resonate with your own, which I didn't have in a more urban area. So, you know, that was kind of the advantage of being a little bit farther out there was, you know, I don't think Sac State was offering a feminist science fiction class at the time, but you could do that at Humboldt. So, I mean, we were packed full of people. One guy who was, you know, having the prime of his life, basically. But, I did that.
Tell us more about that. I want to know about the book. So what
well,
is well,
let's
yeah,
get
so,
let's get to the so, book. I want to hear the journey
this,
to this book.
This dovetail. So I wrote a story in that class. Yeah. And as a result of that story, the teacher says, well, there's this workshop in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Clarion West, and it's speculative fiction. So horror, science fiction, fantasy, anything, all those things in between. And the idea is that they're doing a more literary bent on it. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to encourage people to write this fiction and teach them. It's taught by professional writers, authors, and editors, 6 weeks long. So it's a huge commitment. Oh, God, I can't do it now. And so a couple of years went by. I graduated. I got a job. I was doing a lot of, like, PR work. I actually got really lucky, and I wasn't selling shoes or growing weed. I was working for, a nonprofit PR organization that started up in Humboldt. And I just kept writing, and I was thinking, like, I got to do something with this. I got to do something with this. And this workshop came back up on my radar, which is a cross between radio and radiar and a non-existent thing. So I took this story, and I had some friends look at it for me, polished it, and submitted it, and I got in.
Nice.
So it's a six-week program there. It's here in Seattle, and they hold it every summer. There's 18 students.
Okay.
And the year that I went, and part of the reason I went was because Octavia Butler was teaching that year. She has since passed away, but if you know anything about science fiction, speculative fiction, she is just one of the grandmasters, African-American woman.
Is she from Seattle?
She lived in Seattle for quite a while, but I believe she's originally from California.
Okay.
All the cool kids come from Cali.
Right?
Could have had her on the show.
I know, right?
She was an amazing woman. She actually was the year that I went was the last year that she taught before she passed away, kind of unexpectedly. So I had the privilege of learning with her, and then Connie Willis, who is just hilarious. She does she's a time travel series, and she is the master of like comedy and dialogue and time travel. She's a big World War II historical buff. So I had this great influence of these teachers who were just like, this is how we're making a living. We're writing, we're doing this thing. And I said, okay, I can do this.
Right.
And then 2 years later, it took me 2 years to kind of then ramp back up into getting enough work to feel like I could make a go of it. I had the opportunity to move to Seattle, and so I went because here is just an incredible community of writers and people who are
telling stories. What was the opportunity that brought you?
Actually, a woman that I met at the workshop had moved to London to take a job, and she had a house, room in her house that she was vacating. So she said, hey, you know, do you want to come up to Seattle and you can rent my room and, you know, all your friends are up here and we'd just love for you to come up. And I said, oh. So I had a job offer in the Bay Area and I had no place to live. And I had a place to live here and no job. And so I remember driving back from the interview because I was staying with my parents in Sacramento, and I took this interview in the Bay Area and it went great. And I was like, oh, I've got this job in the bag. And it took me 4 hours to get from San Francisco to Sacramento, which if anybody knows, it's usually about a 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
And I just said, I can't. I knew I wasn't going to be able to afford to live in the Bay Area, which meant I would have had to commute for first who knows how long till I could find something. And I said, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So I went to Seattle, and I love it. I'm so glad.
What year was that?
That was 2007. That was the year we had that horrendous snowstorm.
Oh,
I moved in November.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the one that people just got out of the cars on 405, just left their cars.
Yeah. So crazy, yeah.
That is the ultimate white privilege, by the way. the thought that you can just leave your car, and police will take care of it.
Yeah.
No, let's
get
come
it
back. They'll probably give me a call. Bring it by with some coffee, a cruller. And I'm like, how can you just leave your
I just remember just driving in that, like going home from Seattle and being terrified. Like, just like, the roads weren't that bad once you got all the way to Kent from Seattle. But yeah, never again.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I remember because I, you know, had been here in the summer.
Right.
So I had 6 weeks of like.
Just sunshine.
June to August. And I was like,
everybody.
Oh, this is perfect. Seattle's the best place on earth. Why doesn't everybody live here?
So you come here.
And I moved in November.
In November of 2007.
Right. And
So that's right when the housing market was crashing. And the next year, everything. No, that wasn't. Yeah, 1 year later is the Lehman Brothers crash.
It was an interesting time. Oh, yeah. Seattle's such a great place.
Then
and then you get Obama.
Yeah.
Well, did you? I mean, were you able to get a job up here?
I was actually. I got a job pretty quickly working at another PR agency, and then I transitioned into doing tech work, which everybody does at some point or another. So I did some content management and website coordination for a couple of very large companies located in the area. And writing the whole time. And it's always been something I've kept doing on the side. Like, this is probably.
But this was the same story that
you've
been working on?
No. So I have probably in a drawer somewhere that no one will ever see that I have a friend who has strict instructions to delete the hard drive when I die unexpectedly. I have about 5 or 6 books that I've started and stopped or finished and didn't like.
You want your books destroyed?
Oh, God, they're horrible.
You don't want to be like Prince and like have like a
vault? I am no
Prince.
I wish.
Tupac. Every book. Every year you get a book will come out.
No. I there's a lot of like process that goes into learning to tell the story that you want to tell. It's like that, you know, you try to draw something and you start out with the image in your head and then you sit down with a pencil and what comes out you just like don't anybody look at it.
But this is your first
novel. That's my first published
novel.
Yeah.
So Death's Dancer,
yeah.
Well, so when did you first conceive of this?
So this started actually while I was in Prague.
Oh, wow. That's you went to Prague?
Yeah.
Whitest thing.
Well, no, my wife went to Prague. I think we might go to Prague this summer.
Your wife went to Prague. Yeah. She's white.
Fair enough.
Every white person. That's one in the things white people like to do. You know, what white people like is Prague.
What took you to Prague?
So my husband's job took us to Prague.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we.
Is he white?
He's. Sorry.
Of course, he got sent to Prague.
Like, that's what I was saying. Yes.
Yes, he went to. That's why he went to Prague.
He's German.
Only white people go to Prague.
Schultz. So yeah, you know, we got to Prague for work. I had quit my job at this point. Mm-hmm. I become a yoga teacher, and I did a lot of traveling, and I did some backpacking, and I spent 2 months in Costa Rica, and I walked the Camino de Santiago, and I was like, I have to do something else with my life because this working at a desk is not happening.
Oh, it's the worst.
So, and I have all these stories that I want to tell, you know, and I have all these things I just have to figure out a way to get them out, and so we had the opportunity to go to Prague. Prague was never on my list because it was one of those places that everybody I knew who went there was going to drink beer and party and learn to teach English as a second language in Asia eventually. You know, it was like the place that you go to get your certificate. And so in my mind, I was like, This is just a bunch of like college age white kids like hanging out and getting stupid drunk. So Prague was never on my list. Southern Spain I wanted to go to, Northern Africa I wanted to go to, Morocco.
I feel like that's what I would always hear when I was a Lyft driver. Oh my God, I love Prague.
Great.
Oh my God, Prague was so fun.
But well, you get there and it is an amazing city. I mean,
I hear it's magical.
It's historically, it's really interesting because it's in a very short amount of time, under 100 years, it's changed, had very radical changes in governance. You know, it went from you had communism, you know, now it's a capitalist.
Right.
Before it had, you know, the World War II.
And they were
Nazis.
One of the countries to actually stand up against.
Yeah. Them. Yeah. And it's a really, I mean, they have a very, very strong history culturally of resistance and of seeking a national identity because they were so overrun so many times.
Right.
There's this very strong current of we are Czech and what is it to be a Czech person?
Right.
And nationalism, I think.
Oh, wait, is Czechoslovakia the same?
Yeah,
Prague?
Yeah. So it was Czechoslovakia.
Wait,
it was, yeah.
Prague's a city.
Prague is a city. The Czech Republic
in
is
the Czech
country.
Republic.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And it's also a really beautiful city. Unlike a lot of the other cities in Europe, it didn't sustain a lot of damage from bombing in World War II.
So it's still there.
A lot of really fantastic old buildings that were never, didn't have to be reconstructed.
Right.
And you can very much see periods of architectural history in blocks. You know, just like a city block is. And I'm not an architect, so I'm not even going to pretend like I can give you like a cubist and this, and then you've some great Art Nouveau buildings, and so I really fell in love with a lot of the city and the history of it. I mean, they have these little stories of resistance, like when the Russians came, they removed all the street signs in Old Town so that they couldn't figure out how to get to the center of the city. There's like, you know, they
genius,
you know, that are very small, and but these moments of just like no, you know, people standing up. For themselves and their freedoms and their, you know, and so I have a lot more respect for the country and the people than I did going in. And I really learned, it's a very difficult country to live in if you don't speak the language.
Yeah.
It's a Slavic language. It's got 7 cases, I think. So it's harder than German to learn. And I know I've been working on German for the last 6 years. So it's a really difficult, the culture is very different. It's Central European, but I feel like it has a lot in common with a lot of Eastern European. There's a legacy of communism, I think, which makes people very closed off and kind of colder and quote unquote cold. I mean, I come from California where you'll talk to everybody who will make eye contact. You know, so it's all degrees, right? But also, the people that I met there, once you get to know them and they get to know you, are super warm and welcoming and will give you a shirt off their back and will take you, are very proud of the city and proud of the countryside and will tell you places to go and things to do. I wound up having a cousin. Talk about black folks getting everywhere.
Yeah.
I have a cousin. His cousin, my godmother's nephew, so cousin.
Yeah.
Everybody's cousin at that point, right?
Yeah, the family, cousin. That's my cousin.
He actually married a Czech woman, and they live in the outside of the city with their children and their family, and they have a beautiful little home.
Oh, that's cool.
Mean, it's right in the countryside. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of forest and these big rolling hills, and it's exceptionally beautiful. It reminds me of Seattle in that you, in a very short amount of time, can be outside the city. So Prague is Prague, and it's a city. It's a small city. You can walk it in a couple of hours, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get outside, it's just wild, you know. So they were just exceptionally wonderful hosts and were happy to show us favorite hikes and make us wild boar. There's a lot of wild game that's served. So you see things like on the menu, like duck and boar and venison and just in a restaurant, you know, where you're like, I've never had boar. So let's try this boar with cranberry sauce, you know. So yeah, I mean, it's so one of those moments of sometimes you don't make a plan because life's going to give you something different.
So how long were you there?
So we were there for almost 2 years.
Okay.
And that's where I started writing Death Dancer. It started out as a national novel writing project.
A NaNoWriMo?
It was a NaNoWriMo. I met an expat there who writes mystery novels. Her name is Beth Green. She's got a short story coming out soon. And we kind of hooked up to do writing together. We would just sit and write, and it'd be nice to have someone to speak English with once in a while and not feel like I was totally out of my element. And we sat down and we said, oh, let's do NaNoWriMo. And I hadn't done it in years. Sure, why not? I said,
do you
two
know
ideas.
It's the idea of writing an entire novel in a month.
What is it, 10,000?
50,000 words.
50,000 words.
Wow. 30 days.
Is a novel. So, yeah, so how many words you have to get out each day, and then people have, like, sit-ins, like, not sit-ins, but,
like
parties. Yeah, write-ins where you get together, like, so everyone can sit and work on their novel.
Right.
And then the idea is, like, if you can get that novel done in the month, then maybe you revise it and try to get it, you know, it to be something. I tried doing it 1 year. I was unemployed, and I thought, I'm going to do it while I'm unemployed. This will be great. And then, like, I started a few days, and I was, like, started getting, like, should I be looking for a job? Like, this is bad, right? Like, I should be looking for a job.
But what a great opportunity to be in the Czech Republic and, you know, like you said, nobody really speaks, you know, English out there. And what other, I guess, way to kind of spend your time than to try to write 50,000 words? Holy shit, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of words. I mean, it's great to have. I don't really have a hard time putting down the words. It is going back later and fixing them, which is my challenge. And you know, to be fair, it's also being kind of isolated from your usual set of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have a job. I couldn't work at the time because I didn't have the proper permit.
The work visas. Right. And stuff.
Yeah. That's great. So you have a reason
Yeah. I mean, I taught a couple of community yoga classes there for my local studio, basically in exchange for taking classes. Right. And I had not a lot of other things going on. So
you were a kept woman.
I was a kept woman. It's a glorious thing. And I have a super supportive husband who is really loves what I think he read one story early on in our relationship and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he's great. So I've been telling him I'm writing a book, and he's always had this like, okay, yeah, it's coming. Yeah. Eventually I'm going to see this book. And I thought, you know, when Dancer came out, I said, well, what if you hadn't liked it? Like, what if you had read this book and it was like, you know, like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, all work and no play. What if it was like 300,000 words of nonsense? Yeah. Like, what would you have done?
Now, but it's a fantasy, right?
Yeah.
But does he like fantasy?
So actually, he doesn't. He reads nonfiction.
How is he encouraging?
I know, right? First of all, he's just amazing. Okay. First of all, and actually, I shouldn't say he doesn't like fantasy. He likes science fiction a lot more. So, the Ramaz Nam books he liked. There's Daniel Suarez's Daemons, and I forget the rest of the series. He likes Michael Crichton. He's got a much more, like, analytical, scientific mind.
Uh-huh.
So what he doesn't dig is, like, the sword and sorcery stuff. I don't think I could get him to do Game of Thrones or any of the Song of Fire and Ice books. He's probably not going to ever go there. And plus, he likes, like, more lighthearted comedy stuff anyway. So, you know, I think... just having a supportive partner who said, hey, do it. You know, why not? You know, so I had this idea, like, what if Prague is a city that has a big history of, at one point, there was an emperor, Rudolph, I believe his name was, who was big into alchemy and all of the arcane arts of magic. And he brought all these people to the city who claimed to have some sort of sorcerers and things. So there's history in the city of magic. Yeah. And I thought, well, let's play with that idea. I had two ideas. I remember sitting down with Beth at the table because I have one like really kind of serious, more literary fiction, and then I have one really fun kind of murder mystery, science fantasy, necromancers. And she's like, do the fun one. Mm-hmm. So that was Dancer, and I got the first 50,000 words out, and I kept going.
Wow.
And then by the end of December, I had a first draft. And I looked at it, and for the first time, I was like, wow, I have something here that it looks like it's got, you just kind of know, you know, like it came together. It had a beginning, it had a middle, and an end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is the goal of NaNoWriMo, is it just to get 50,000 words, or is there an idea that you're just doing, like, are you supposed to finish the story, or is it just, it's supposed to be a jump?
NaNoWriMo is just a word count. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that you can, it's an honor system.
And you're like, I wrote a novel.
Right. Yeah. And so you say, woohoo, done. You know, and then I think a lot of them go into a trunk and nobody ever sees them again.
Yeah.
And that's fine because there's a lot of just process that you need to go through the experience of having a goal and meeting it just to say you did it.
How much research did you need for this? Like, did you know everything about necromancers?
I mean, what is there to know about necromancers? You make a lot of it up because aside from watching Evil Dead 12 times, I guess, like, does that count as research?
Because necromancers is one of the characters. Well, okay. Yeah, yeah. So, give this a short. What's the story about?
So Death Dancer is set in an alternate reality in Prague, which is a magical system in a world that has suffered a war, where humans learn to manipulate the power of gods through dance. Mm. And in the process of that, they just almost destroyed the world. So a group of necromancers came to the front. They saved the world. Mm-hmm. But then the price that we paid was that we gave up our world and they took it over. So eight of them have divided the world among themselves into geolocations. Mm-hmm. We are now under their rule. And there's this balance of the necromancers and then these people,
okay,
women generally, or men also, uh-huh, that dance for gods. And so in this world, there's a series of murders that's been committed. Necromancers are dying.
Oh, okay.
Which is thought to be impossible because, mm-hmm, they're supposed to be immortal. Mm-hmm. So the allegiance is concerned. Mm-hmm. And they need to find the killer. To do that, they need the power of a god. And so they have to hire this dancer.
Right.
And she's forced to work with one of them and solve the series of murders. So
like, okay, the cover?
Yeah.
He's totally going to do her, right? Like, I mean, that looks like... It's like, I was like, oh, it's a romance.
Yeah, those well, of it you, is. You it guys is a need per- to check yeah. this out. This is...
A little stubble. Yes. And, like, looking down there. He's hungry.
Well, okay, to me...
His eyes, but you know this, he's got hungry eyes.
So let me... I just want to ask this. This, to me, seems like it could be an ongoing series. Do you feel like it's only like a one and done, or do you think you could do maybe more after this?
Well, I wanted it to stand alone because I don't like series. I don't like cliffhangers.
Okay.
I'm a binge watcher. Yeah, I don't like, don't leave me hanging. I just need to know what's going to happen. So I thought, do that.
Like, publishers don't like that for your first book, right? They don't like it, like, to start off like,
no.
Oh, you're going to, oh, it's a trilogy. Right. I've got a trilogy. It's the first one.
No, you've
got
to show them that you know how to arc
right.
a story. You know, nobody wants to see you just like, I'm going to make it up. Handwavium. It happens over here later. I'll figure it out in book three. Don't you want to buy? Don't you want to give me a contract, a six-figure contract? No,
I want a 12-book deal.
Right. Well, plus this was an experiment for me. I mean, I traditionally always wrote a little bit more straightforward, I would call speculative fiction. So more fantasy, urban fantasy without the like...
Urban fantasy
in the old school, like in the
it's Charles, like Leroy casting spells,
like what Charles Dalent and Emma Bull, and so kind of like the magic in ordinary setting,
mm-hmm, okay,
not the like kind of modern day badass chick with a gun and a sword, you know, like that,
like
kind
a of, dragon comes out of a 7-Eleven,
yeah, you know, of, and kind yeah. of like the, just kind of like what is odd about I this like situation? Yeah. There's a dragon working, mm-hmm, the counter at the 7-Eleven, you know, like that's. So I kind of, I didn't know.
So stereotypical.
Dang. It always happens on a Saturday night.
Trump's going to get rid of all those dragons in the 7-Elevens. Illegal dragons flying over.
Oh,
going to have to put up a 50-foot net.
I love it.
Catch the, because the dragons fly.
Because the dragons, yeah. They fly. They're trouble, man, you know. And then they come in and they bring all their right. kids and their.
So I see the, so it's not for sale yet. But
well, no, so it has okay. So I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah,
our copies are not for sale.
Okay, okay.
We got the rough draft.
I cheaped out on you guys about the proofs. Yeah, so it actually came out the 27th of December.
Oh, okay. Congrats.
Thank
you.
Yeah, so pretty recent. And the print version is actually on its way.
Okay.
So it's available now in ebook.
Okay.
On Amazon, and then the print version will be out shortly.
I do feel like for all you listeners out there, you need to get the print copy of this because the cover of this is amazing. So you definitely need to check this out.
Is that you dancing?
That is not me. I am not a dancer.
Now, okay, what do you think? I was talking to somebody about this because we're talking about like, is TV evolving? Like, are we going to get rid of people? Like, we were just talking earlier about cable and stuff, but I was saying like, I don't know if it'll ever end up changing because people also told me that books were going to go away by now. By now, we should not have books. They would all be e-books. That's all. That's what everyone's going to do. Amazon is going to drive everyone out. There'll be no bookstores. There'll be no bookstores. It'll all be online, maybe. Now, even Amazon has a bookstore.
That's
like,
true.
Now they have a – like, they drove all the bookstores out of business, and they're like, oh, fuck, now we're going to open a bookstore,
yeah,
right?
How is Barnes & Noble's doing? Are they, like, still hanging in there?
They're there. I mean, there's one at Northgate Mall.
That's
I mean, but I feel like there is just something about paper.
something about turning the page. Like, I have a newsletter for my real estate stuff, and like people are like, oh, you're gonna send out an email. I'm like, I don't like email newsletters. I don't like it. I'm like, click on this, and like it just sits there, and then maybe you'll read it. But like, I got a paper one.
Yeah,
they can fold and touch, and like the feel of that paper, and I feel like it's a little unusual too, because nobody does it anymore.
Yeah,
like has a paper one, and I just feel like when I've got a book, it's something like I like it. It's not just this file on my. Do you think books in paper will go away?
Well, let me pull out my crystal ball here and prognosticate. So writer think.
What do you imagine?
I enjoy looking at a library in your house and being able to like actually go up and say, I'm going to grab this book off the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's how I learned to read fantasy. I mean, because my dad would be in his office and I would be looking at the books and I was like, oh, what's this? You know, Isaac Asimov, who's that? You know, so I feel like that is it's an essential part of my reading experience that they can't replicate in an ebook form yet. That said, it's nice to be able to pack 100 books on a Kindle and go on vacation. I mean, like
I've tried. I just can't like. I need to get rid of the. I can't have a Kindle Fire. That's what I have
because you have everything then else you've got on the internet. And
yeah, because like I got books on there, and I'm like,
Facebook. Like, this is not the book I was trying to get to.
I last like three pages before I'm like, let me just check what's Facebook. Yeah. Like, I need to get the one that is just only books are allowed on it.
Yeah,
and then maybe
it's funny how like technology will allow you to be ADD. You know, it's like
it kind of enables your.
It really
your
does.
Problem.
It's like you have too like much at the access, like of your fingertips.
I used to when I commuted to work when I first moved up here, it was like an hour bus ride, and I read every day, and I'd read in the line, you know, because you don't want to have to talk to people, so you'd read standing in line, and then I'd read on the bus every day. I went through so many books in like you know a couple years of commuting like that. And I just don't read as much now because I'm like, I was imagining now if I had a smartphone on the bus, I'm like, I don't know if I would have read a book.
You know,
do you read books?
No, when I'm on the bus, I mean, it's only, I only catch the bus one day a week. But when I do, I'm just reading the news. Like, I stay up on CNN or MSN.
Oh, that's what I do at work. What do you actually do your job?
What do you do at work? What are you going to do at work?
Wonder, like, one of these days it's going to catch up with me. They're going to be like, okay, so we see that on a daily basis you go on the Huffington Post, you're on CNN, you're on MSNBC, you're on King 5.
It's all the banking news, right? You got to tell people their money's about to go away.
You got to tell them what's going on.
You
got to
know. You got
to
know.
Do you know, like, you have to post if you want to get advertising to work? For any of your businesses, you have to post during work hours.
Really?
Because it's 5 o'clock everywhere. Viewership on Facebook goes down. On the weekends, it's almost dead. Like,
really?
If you ever put any good jokes up on Saturday or Sunday on Facebook, you're going to get no likes because nobody's watching Facebook then. They're doing shit. Everyone goes to Facebook when they're at work because they hate what they're doing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what all the traffic is when people are at work.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, so we need to be posting about this book
during work hours,
Monday through Friday,
9 to 5.
Be doing my part. Yeah. So
no, I don't think books. I don't think books are going away. I think that's going to change. I think everything is going to change. You know,
I remember watching Deep Space Nine, and what's his name? Had a book like Sisko's kid.
Yeah,
he always had the little tablet thing, and I was like, oh, that's the future.
You know, I you know what? I take that back. I bet you books go away in 500 years.
Oh, yeah.
500 years.
You think we're going to be here in 500 years the way things are going?
Yeah, the way things are going.
Good luck.
I mean, we'll run out of paper, so that'll run out of no more wood.
There won't be any oxygen left on this planet.
Right.
So, yeah, whatever.
It'll be little tablets of moon rock.
Yeah. How are we feeling about this? Do you think we'll ever make it to another planet?
Oh, yeah.
Us?
Yeah.
Personally?
No, not us. But
that
like,
makes me a little sad, though, to think about that. I won't. Like get to another planet.
Oh, I don't want to go. I am low risk, like a tolerance.
Oh,
I'm
so
like, nope.
You wouldn't
want to
be the first.
No, I wouldn't be the first, but I did like hope that the idea that there'd be civilizations like getting somewhere when I was.
This sounds horrible, but I wouldn't mind living in space. But you know, like I kind of did. You see the what was the one with Chris Pratt?
Oh, Passengers.
Yeah, did you see it?
I haven't seen that yet.
That ship actually looked pretty cool. I mean, there was a lot.
Do you know what happens?
Yeah, but you know, wait, like, oh, so I've read it.
I mean, I've read the
synopsis.
So you know what he did?
Okay.
You know
yeah,
what he
yeah, does? I know, and that's part of why I haven't seen it yet, because yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready to be angry.
Right.
I'm not ready to be angry at that man.
I did not know.
I still think he's kind of cute, so right, I don't want to be angry
at him. So wait, what if the hubby did that?
Yeah, no, we'd have a big problem. Okay, yeah, like, yeah, no, I just feel like that is so wrong.
But you got to watch it. You got to real. Yeah, it is selfish. Totally, but he was like losing it.
Good,
right?
Lose it then.
No,
fine.
No, but I mean, he, okay.
But you don't get to take anybody else down with
right,
you.
Right, but he was like going crazy. Like he was going to kill himself, and then he saw her and felt like she saved him. And
spoiler
then,
alert.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, oh, so, yeah. A little spoil in the beginning. Yeah, 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 but it's like, well, here's the thing. I had no idea that that was part of it. I thought they both were.
Well, they didn't market it like that.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that son of a bitch. Like, how's he going to be? He's the, what? No, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
How's he going to, yeah, he can't do that.
It's
and deal with it. Like,
I mean. Yeah, do you doom somebody to the same fate as you, or do you let them?
Loneliness is a bitch.
It is.
Yeah, but this is this idea of like you getting to decide what the future, what fate had the future.
But he's not.
And, like, right, you know, and like, would you go into something knowing at the end of it? I think Arrival handled this a lot better in a more like thoughtful sense,
right?
Right. This idea of spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Would you go forward in a path in your life knowing that it would cause you grief, or that somebody would die, or that it would, you know, like?
Well, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like, do you ever have deja vu?
Yes, all the time.
All the time, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I've had these, like, these dreams of, like, I don't know, it, like, okay, so, okay, I'll tell you this one, and I think I may have told this one on the podcast before. So my aunt, right, she had a dream one night that she lost her leg, and so she runs into my mom's room crying, and she's like, oh, my God, I lost my leg, and my mom's like, we go to sleep, whatever, right? So a few months later, my aunt is dieting poorly. You know the BART in the Bay Area? She faints, falls onto the tracks. Somebody picks her up last minute, but the train severs her leg. So it ended up happening, but it's like, you wonder sometimes, can you change these events, right? Like, I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think?
I got another one to tell you.
Okay.
This just happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Our friend, Jasmine and I's friend, Joseph Greenhour. I mean, you know Joseph.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other day, it's like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
He messages me. It's in the morning. He's like, hey, this is going to sound weird.
Yeah.
But is your family okay? I'm like, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I had a dream about you guys. Well, I'm like, your dream about me, you sicko, whatever. I was like, well, I mean, we. I was like, well, actually, my daughter, she like threw up in the middle of the night. It was like 3 a.m.
Oh, okay.
And he said, I had a dream that she was sick,
mm-hmm,
and you guys were worried about if she was going to make it or not. He woke up at 3 a.m.
Wow.
With that dream. That something's wrong. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he says he's had dreams about other, like, friends. He has dreams about friends, like, events, like, happening.
Yeah.
And then it times out. He's like, I don't believe in psychic stuff, but this keeps happening. That tripped the hell out of me.
Dude.
Like, he literally did have a dream at the time when she was throwing up, and we just like, oh, my gosh.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Okay, like, I don't know where you stand, because you're always kind of on the fence, but afterlife or no afterlife? What are we thinking?
Mm.
Possibility of it?
That's a big
better
question.
Chance of books, I think. Books are
books
made
around.
We don't even know the answer to paper books.
Well,
they
okay,
exist.
So here's the thing. Like, it's so interesting to me that so many people have had the same documented experience of like dying, you know. But it's like, is that because they've heard similar things? Like our buddy Kane, his dad had passed away and was pronounced dead. And then said he went through a wormhole type thing. And when he came back, he was really depressed. And he wouldn't tell anybody. And apparently he had seen heaven. And he was like, this is so lame down here compared to whatever is up there. And then I actually had a buddy who her dad was also pronounced dead. Had the same kind of wormhole thing. Went up, came back. And he didn't tell anybody for a few weeks. His mom actually went to a grocery store. And this lady said this thing to him. She was like, this is going to sound crazy, but something's putting it on my heart to tell you that your son's not doing what he's supposed to be doing right now. And whatever that is, you know, whatever. So she kind of blew it off. She goes to the next place. I think it was the bank. And another lady told her the same thing. And she goes home and tells him this. And he starts crying. He said he was up in heaven. And an angel told him that he needed to be a better dad to his girls. And, like, craziest thing. So I don't know. I mean, if... What are the signs? But what's the odds of somebody telling you the same thing at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Like, well, I think that's separate than afterlife, though. It's just it? That's psychic. That's But that's like, a connection between people. That doesn't mean that it's there's something after.
So let me ask you this. So scientifically, you think about electrical charges, right?
Yeah.
You can't destroy energy, right? Just kind of what is it? Dissipates, it goes other places.
Yeah.
So okay, well let me ask you this. Like what are you comprised of? A bunch of energy, right? So where does all that energy and electrical charges go once you're gone? Like does it
Well, that's the law of thermodynamics.
Yeah, thermodynamics, right?
So I don't know.
There's...
I don't know. But I'm saying that's different than psychic. Like, I think those are separate things.
You think so?
Like, they could... I mean, doesn't...
I mean, it seems like that could... But it's one side of the other thing, is that you've got... You know, if you are energy, and energy... Right. We're communicating. I mean, we this idea that we're all kind of solid, static kind of things. We're, you know, we're little atoms that are vibrating against each other, and we're clinging together. So,
right.
You know, who's to say? I kind of... I don't know. I don't know if I believe in an afterlife. I don't know if I believe specifically in a place where you go and you sit around and you yuck it up with all your buddies.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is – that the lines of communication are open back and forth. And I think that there's a potential for energy who feels like it needs to stick around around.
So like hauntings and
stuff
like that.
My grandfather, my mother's father passed away a couple of years ago and she still feels him. You know, and she still – will be in a room and feel like, you know, there's a presence there. And who am I to say what?
When not,
I
am? Yeah.
Right. You know, like or you're connected with somebody. She calls me. I know when she's calling all the time. Like I'm reaching for the phone before it starts ringing. And it's just so normal that I don't even think of it as anything special, you know?
Right.
I will haunt the shit out of people. I'll tell you that right now.
So like, I'm not going in anywhere. Showers for people.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. All of your wives. That's where I'm going.
Hilarious.
It's we're over time, but so Death's Dancer, it's available online right now.
Yeah, right now the best place to get it is Amazon.
Okay,
coming to other retailers
shortly. Can you pre-order?
You cannot pre-order the paper book at this time, unfortunately. But I shall have that up. We'll probably have that resolved by the end of February.
Are you
going to
do a book signing? Do you have a book signing coming?
I have no book signing coming. I have a reading in March. Comic-Con? I will be there probably with Clarion West, but I probably won't be there on my own.
Come to our comedy show and we'll blast you. We'll be
am I signing at a comedy show? Well, so here's the thing. So I thought about this because, you know, bookstore is a great place to do signing, but I'd love to do something that's a little more kind of interactive.
There's always books at comedy shows.
Exactly, you know, like something that's a little bit more gets people
get
going.
Get a booth. You should get in the booth. Share a booth.
We'll think about that.
Maybe after after our set, we can.
People are gonna be signing buying my CD. We can't be trying to buy our book. What are we gonna put up? Oh,
we're doing two for one.
Yuggity dick joke. Hey, buy her book.
Well, there's Bonin, so you know.
There you go.
You might go to
booth. See, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, this has been fun. And please make sure you check out this book. You will not be disappointed. It looks like it's going to definitely be a good one. I love the cover. It's the best.
He's going to be alone tonight.
I am. I am really going to be. Why are you in the bathroom so goddamn long? Don't worry about it.
I'm just reading. I like paper.
You told me I should read more.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Black and a half.
Join us. Impressive.